I'm Chuck Hinman in Providence. With the election of Donald Trump as president, immigrants are expressing concerns that his harsh rhetoric now promises to become policy in the new administration. In Rhode Island, advocates who work with immigrants and refugees say there aren't enough immigration lawyers to answer their clients' concerns. I'm joined now by Carl Krueger, staff attorney with Dorcas International Institute of Rhode Island, specializing in immigration services and refugee resettlement. Carl Krueger, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
Let's start with an overview of your work with Dorcas. Who are the clients that you mainly serve?
Primarily a working class, working poor clientele. We do primarily family-based immigration. We do a lot of citizenship applications. We help people get work authorizations that they're able to do that. What we don't do is business immigration. A lot of the immigration work that's done is getting workers into the United States. We stay away from that. We have plenty of work to do with just helping families get reunified and helping other folks just navigate their way through the system. Probably a third of my time is just counseling people on what their options might be and as to whether they might have something that they're able to do, and it might be worthwhile to hire a private attorney to help them get through that process.
There was a recent article in The Atlantic that featured comments from immigration lawyers around the country. They reported a big increase in calls since the election from immigrants asking questions that really have no answers yet because of the uncertainty about what's to come. Are you and your colleagues experiencing such a big increase in those kind of calls?
Absolutely. There's a couple of things are going on. One, fees are going up on December 23rd across the board. So a lot of people are, who maybe have been sitting on something that they might have been able to do are kind of urgently trying to get in to get things filed. But more crucially, the programs that the Obama administration has implemented through the executive orders are vulnerable. As easily as Mr. Obama put these programs into effect, Mr. Trump can, with the stroke of a pen, take them away. And the biggest surge we're seeing in my office is from the DACA kids. The DACA is this Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program that Obama initiated in 2012. It allows young people who've been in the United States since before they were 16 years old, who've been here since 2007, so now 9 years in the United States, but who have come here at a very young age, to apply for and get permission to be here and permission to work here. It's been a hugely successful program. 700,000 or so people across the country have taken advantage of this. But the permissions that the DACA folks get, they're not all kids at this point, obviously, are good for 2 years at a time. So those are coming up for renewal depending on when it is time to renew. And we're getting bombarded with inquiries from people who are wondering if they should renew their work authorizations and others who become eligible for the first time because you could not have applied for the program unless you were 15 years old. So there's a continuing smaller but continuing pool of people who are becoming eligible. And those folks are wondering if they should even start the process at this point, given what Mr. Trump has said.
These are people also who shared their identities with the federal government at this point. Are they nervous that maybe now they're in jeopardy?
Absolutely. And this is the kind of calculated risk that people have to take. Our advice generally is if you're already registered and you have an opportunity to try to renew the work authorization, the die is cast for you, so you might as well go for it. Whereas if you have not yet turned yourself in, you're eligible to do it, but you haven't done it yet, you might want to wait and see what happens, at least sit on it for a couple of months, see what happens in January and February, which way the winds are blowing, and then you will probably be able to make a better informed decision.
And you're really unable to tell them definitively what might happen.
It's the best we can do at this point. We just don't know. We try to explain the options to people, taking into account the practical problems that any administration is going to have if it decides to dump, whether it's hundreds of thousands of people or millions of people, into deportation proceedings. You do have rights if you're in the United States, even if you are undocumented. And one of those rights is the right to a hearing before you get deported. If Mr. Trump is seriously going to contemplate doing that, the mess that is going to result is almost unfathomable. The immigration court system is already tremendously backed up. People are getting hearings set now for 4, 5, 6 years in the future across the country. There are over 500,000 pending deportation cases right now. What Mr. Trump is proposing is dumping hundreds of thousands of more people into deportation proceedings, into a system that can't handle what it already has to handle.
I have read horror stories of the backlogs in courts across the country. Does that apply to the one in Boston as well?
Absolutely. The judges in Boston are scheduling cases for 2, 3, 4, 5 years out into the future, depending on an individual judge's calendar. Some of the judges have been sitting up there for a long time and have calendars that are much more clogged up than some of the newer hired judges. But this takes a toll on people because a lot of people, not everybody's going to get deported. There is relief from deportation available to people in certain circumstances, and many people want to have their hearings because they want to get approved for their permanent residence, which if you're in a deportation proceeding, you can only do that in front of an immigration judge. You can't opt out to go back to the administrative agency, Citizenship and Immigration Services. Jurisdiction over your case lies with the immigration judge if you're in a deportation proceeding, and that means that your case is on hold. These are some meritorious cases, you know, individuals who are fleeing persecution in their countries and are applying for asylum. Individuals have ways to get green cards, other ways through family-based petitions, and these cases are on hold. People are in a limbo.
What do they do in the meantime?
They sit, they wait, they have permission to be in the United States while these proceedings are pending, and they often have the ability to get a work authorization, but it's costly, and it is not a green card, which many people are ultimately going to get when they have their hearings. So again, it's a very frustrating, you know, to be told your case is not going to be heard for 3 years or 4 years. Tremendously disappointing to someone who has a way to get his situation straightened out.
So that is the burden that is on people who are trying to make their way through this system. Let me ask you if you share any of the apprehension expressed by some Americans during the campaign for president that too many people are coming to this country illegally, and that too many refugees are arriving from places like Syria where there's not enough vetting to ensure they're not terrorists or criminals?
On the latter point first, I think it's well documented the vetting that is done of refugees. These processes take years before someone is cleared to come into the United States. The government annually sets a quota for how many people they want to let into the United States. At one point, it was over 100,000 people. After September 11, it dwindled down to almost nothing. It's picked up again a little bit. And we do resettle more refugees in the United States than any other country in the world. That's fair, but it is a process. And the notion that people are slipping in, terrorists are slipping in, I think it's unfounded, given the extensive vetting that is done before people are allowed to come in that way. The immigration situation is a complicated one. We have struggled with this for over 100 years, trying to decide what the makeup of the country is, because that's when you boil it down, that's what we're talking about. What is the United States going to look like? And the change in demographics causes some people to be afraid. It's an economic issue, in my opinion, and I am not an economist, but I like to think that a fundamental part of the policy should be rooted in the economic betterment of the United States. And when you hear employers talking about their frustration because they can't get workers into the United States, skilled workers to do the jobs that are available now, the tech jobs, immigration is part of a bigger issue, which is how are we going to grow the economy of the United States at this point in time? I don't know if anybody knows what the right number of immigrants is. We let about 1 million people every year get a green card. We let. I mean, under the existing rules, about 1 million new people every year get green cards in a country of, 350 million people. So it's a small percentage of new arrivals. I don't have an answer. I'm not the economist, but I truly think that it is something bigger than simply, oh, we have a lot of undocumented people living in the United States. That's really not what the issue is.
Carl Krueger, staff attorney for Dorcas International Institute. Thanks for talking to Rhode Island Public Radio.
It was my pleasure.